titled Here in Your Arms by Hello Goodbye, which I always thought was just a Beatles track. Anyway, almost a fortnight ago, I was privileged to be present at the first ever Lincolnshire Hay Day. Yes, so it was the Hay Day, obviously Hay Festival, but this was our very first Lincolnshire Hay Day and one of the absolute stars of the show, without any shadow of a doubt, was indeed somebody who did a double act with, in fact, the legend that is Maggie Hanbury. He wowed the audience and provided a simply sensational insight into his text, which is published in July, which can't read from because it's going to be serialised, so it's all sorted through there, but it will be released in July. We're really eagerly anticipating this. He's an ace Reuters correspondent. If you wanted to actually have a mentor for working in the journalistic field of investigative reporting, you could do no better than actually saying those magical words. Tom Bergen, are you there, Tom?
I am indeed, Ike. Thank you very much. Thank you for that kind introduction. I hope we can live up to it.
Very crucial. It's, after the, quite frankly, surreal evening meal we had the night before, I thought, well, we started going into Catholicism, we started going into all sorts of other activities.
It was a pretty broad discussion, wasn't it?
My word. Simon Napier-Bell, a wonderful chap, but didn't know where he was going on various other areas from that perspective, but it was great. Anyway, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. Obviously, we are now just a few weeks away from the release of Thrills and Spin, the inside story of British Petroleum. Is there a kind of sense of anticipation? I mean, obviously, we've talked about this for a wee while now. You've known, I mean, like any author, you know, the baby has now been released. It's almost out there, etc. Are we looking forward with a certain amount of keen anticipation?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, for me, it's been sort of like a period of pregnancy as such, you know, going through all the motions.
Women don't realise, Tom, just what we go through, let's be honest. I mean, the pain, the agony.
Absolutely. But this is the thing. It is. There's a lot of pain and a lot of agony. And for me personally, obviously, it's hugely exciting to wait for the book to go out. Just less than a month now. I guess that for a lot of people, I mean, this is still a very live issue. So there are still a lot of debates going on around this subject, and some of those debates there's a lot of money on. Literally tens of billions of dollars is hinging on lawsuits around this issue at the moment. So it's fair to say, without any sense of immodesty, that there are a lot of people involved in this situation who are keenly looking for the insights, watching to see what insights will be brought in the book, and what sort of new revelations will come in the book, which possibly have a big impact on some of those debates and discussions and indeed litigation that's going on at the moment. So yes, I think for me personally, definitely widely anticipated, but I think also within the industry and within the parties that are involved in the Gulf oil spill, that insofar as that those debates are still going, they're also, I think, looking forward to it with some sense of anticipation.
One of the elements that you kind of alluded to at the talk at the Lincoln Hay Day, of course, was this notion that there were a few, shall we say, low-ranking officials who were forced to actually leave the company. But other than that, it was almost a classic example of senior management techniques in which the buck didn't stop with them. It was passed somewhere down the line. And so it's not me, it's him.
It's an interesting one. There has been a huge disaster. I mean, by any standards, I know a lot of people are saying that a lot of the oil is cleaned up and etc. And a lot of people are downplaying, you know, the long term damage. You know, the reality is we don't know. It was a huge disaster, and the effects are likely to be felt for decades. Despite that, it is strange in a way that people have still not kind of really put up their hand and said, you know, there were some real, you know, serious weaknesses in the procedures that we had here. There's a lot of buck passing from one company to the next. And, I met with Bob Dudley, the chief executive of BP, at an event here in London. And, you know, I asked the question, you know, you're saying that you've made lots of changes. You know, there were lots of criticisms of specific things you did in terms of how you drilled wells and well designs. And, what are you changing there? And he said, well, you know, he still defended their position and said, actually, really, there's nothing wrong with our well design. That actually it was a case of, our contractors making problems and other people. So there is a strange situation that there hasn't been an acceptance that there's sort of fundamental flaws on the part of BP, possibly on the part of others that were involved in this. So it's strange. It's a huge disaster, but nobody seems to think they're guilty at the moment. That's if they have done anything wrong in that to create that situation. So it's a little bit of an anomaly there, I think you might say.
Jack. questions from yourself.
Yeah, I'd be interested, sort of, what kind of opposition have you come across then in sort of researching and writing the book, both from sort of over in America especially, because that's sort of where my interest lies, but over here as well?
Well, I mean, it's because there's so much litigation going on, it's been difficult for BP to cooperate. Now, one might say that they wouldn't want anybody to look into their past or to look into the way they do things. I think that even if they do want to, they'd find that very difficult because there's a lot of litigation going on. So the reality is that one could easily, people or the company at the moment is concerned about giving hostages to fortune in terms of, something they might say in an interview. If their chief executive or chairman said something, that might cause problems. So the company itself was quite reluctant in an official capacity to help. So there was definite opposition there. You know, some people also more broadly in the industry were concerned about cooperating because they felt it might reflect badly on them or it might reflect badly on the company or possibly even on the industry. So, you know, it was such a live situation that there was an enormous amount of opposition. And, you know, in terms of writing this book, I just don't think it would have been possible if one didn't have a deep sort of background in the industry. So, I mean, I've written hundreds of stories about BP over the past decade or so, and I, know the company intimately. I've known people there, so I've just, through knowing people and having my own contacts, I've been able to, get a lot of information and talk to a lot of people. If you didn't have that, it would have been very difficult because there's not a great deal of natural incentive on the part of anybody connected to this to be very open.
Is there a sense of betrayal that people actually know you sort of think, Tom, how can you do this to us? We were the company which took you in and this is what you're producing. What's it all about? Is that coming across?
Well, I think, people haven't seen the book yet, but I think that, it's possible, that people might feel like that. I mean, for one thing for sure is that I spoke to a lot of people who outlined positions that I didn't think were sustainable. And they were, decent people, and they were, highly accomplished former senior executives, and they might have been out giving a perspective and giving some information with a view toward defending their own position and saying, this is what we did, but this is the reason, and we think, that was a good thing. And actually, if you go and look into it and say, actually, it wasn't such a good thing because it was inevitably going to lead to some problems. So there will be people who say, they might be unhappy with them. The results, other people, of course, will be very happy, because in a situation like this where there have been contentious issues, some people will be keen to, to redress what they may feel is some negative perceptions to their contribution. And they might say, history so far, the written record has been very hard on me, and that actually I'm going to tell the full story now, and actually, if you understand the nuances of it, that their situation, that their actions might look a bit better. So everybody's, a lot of people have contributed with a view towards, having their input into how history is written and with the hope perhaps that history will be kind to them. Some people might find that it has been kind and some people might find that it hasn't been as kind as they'd like it to. And, all I can say is that, I've got a pretty strong record in this industry, both as a writing about it and also working in it myself previously as an oil broker. So I think I understand things pretty well, so I'm pretty happy to defend if anybody says, I'm unhappy with the result of that, any criticism will be very clearly backed up and the context will be there to show why somebody's actions are being criticised. And I think that... So if people do feel a bit hard done by, I think that they'll still find it hard to consider any criticism that may exist to be unfair.
And is it too naive to suggest that one of the reasons that BP was not effectively hung out to dry or was criticised so heavily over the oil spill was partly due to possible anti-British feeling from the American perspective? I mean, or are they thinking, no, it's just as well that Britain can have their own Exxon Valdez or equivalent?
It's interesting. I mean, I think that there definitely was an anti-British sentiment that developed over the course of the summer, and I was in the U.S. during that, and I was sort of coming back. It's interesting to travel back to and from a few times the U.K. to see and the, between the U.S. and the U.S. to see how things were perceived differently. There definitely was an anti-British sentiment there. I guess the question is whether that anti-British sentiment developed because of the oil spill, or whether the reaction to BP was emphasized because it was foreign. And I think primarily the sort of anti-Britishness that developed was a result of the fact that it was a British company that was soiling the ocean. I think it's hard for people. You know, we had it last week. We had an explosion in Wales. Mm. Four people died in a refinery there, and the reaction to that has been incredibly muted. Local politicians have gone out of their way to say that, you know, that to not criticise Chevron, the owner of that refinery. That's a very different situation to the way that people react to things in the U.S.
I'm pleased you mentioned that, Tom, because that's exactly what I was going to hone in on, because obviously it's not quite to the extent of what occurred within the BP Gulf spill. But as you said, there are sort of indications here in terms of, you know, that dreadful phrase, lessons will be learned, where you think, yeah, are we going to get these things right from that perspective? Because clearly, as you said, I mean, there were instances that were happening with BP that, you know, at one stage prior to the Gulf spill, BP had a phenomenally successful record in terms of care and efficiency and health and safety.
They for a long time, BP looked in certain ways to be very strong. Then it had a series of some very serious accidents. They had a terrible explosion in a refinery in Texas City that killed 15 people. And what was so bad about that was that as that was investigated, it transpired that many, many warnings had been given to the company. Many reports had been conducted by the company, consultants hired by the company, and also internal officials constantly warned BP management about dangers in Texas City. You know, incredibly blatant warnings saying, listen, everybody in the refinery is terrified that they're going to get killed in an explosion. I mean,
that's fairly sort of stiff, basically, from that point of view, really, in terms of blatant scenarios. I mean, I'm reminded on a different scale, admittedly, 100 years ago, you know, the Titanic captain had several bumps with the Titanic. And people were saying, hang on, you've got a problem here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's get this sorted out. I mean, do you sense, Jack, I mean, from your perspective, somebody who's actually reading American studies and so on and this flavor, I mean, obviously going over to the States next year to actually sort of spend a semester over in that perspective, do you think that something like this has a negative impact in terms of Anglo-American relations?
Yeah, I do think that. And I suppose historically, if you look back, things like this in America can almost be perceived as an attack on America. There's this very defensive nature, I think, over there, isn't there? So maybe that does come into it somewhat, but maybe just the scale of it.
For any CIA people who are listening, we're not attacking America at all. It's just an open debate on that point of view. I was reminded, actually, of one comment that you made, Tom, about one of your earlier podcasts when we put this thing together and your son couldn't quite sort of get this notion, or you were on television, I think, at the time, and he couldn't quite get this notion of you, of seeing you on television and in the same room. It's
fantastic.
Genius! It's
some
like
magical ability there that I had.
It's phenomenal. Interesting enough, in terms of research, I mean, you're probably already aware of this, but I see that utilize the old Google system and you come up with Tom Bergen's Tavern, based in Los Angeles, responsible for Irish coffee.
Absolutely. Interesting. Apparently in the 1950s, it was where all the movie stars used to hang out.
Yeah, exactly. So you were destined to do Siren FM. It was inevitable. Yeah,
if I'm looking for some place to hold a launch party for the book in Los Angeles, I guess there's an obvious choice.
I think it's already being connected together. It's fantastic stuff. The book, of course, the inside story of BP, Thrills and Spin. Do we have a specific date when it's being released?
It's July 7th. And
okay.
It's Spills and Spin, so. And it's July 7th. And I think you can already pre-order on Amazon if you're so inclined. And but it will be on the shelves from July 7th.
Three days after Independence Day. So if you want to actually hear interesting rejoinders, celebrate on the 4th of July and then sort of get the real story behind BP and how all sorts of things work through that.
And it's just before the annual anniversary of ending the oil spill. But that was July 15th.
Exactly. So it's all connected together. So two final questions, Tom. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting return visit to the Midwick Drive here on Siren FM?
It's been absolutely wonderful, Alex. Always good to talk to you, always enjoyable.
So the next crucial question is, can we post July 7th, shortly afterwards, when we've read the book and worked through that, can we invite you to come back and chat more about, obviously, the book once it's actually released and in the public domain?
Alex, I'd love to. It would absolutely be my pleasure.
Fantastic. Tom Bergen, author extraordinaire and a Reuters correspondent and former oil broker, we salute you.
Thank you very much, Alex.